Okay, as Rav Nosson mentioned, a discussion about women in Bris Milah, which of course comes up in this past week's parasha. This year is going to be a little bit shorter. I give this year every year. Usually it's a bit longer, but today is going to be a little bit on the shorter end. And to me, it's a fascinating topic, just in Lumdus and Halacha, this issue of a woman giving a child a bris. And of course, we know that it comes up in Parsha Shmos. People turn to Mar Makom number one. Vayikach Moshe es ishto ves bonav, vayirkaveh malachamor, vayeshuv arts mitzrayim, vayikach Moshe es mata lokim biyado, etc., etc. Vayomer shema Moshe, balatcha lo shemitzrayma, reikol amosim. The next pasuk. Okay. Vayomer lecha shalachas b'ni v'yavdeni, v'timein l'shalcho, hine anochi harag asbincha So we know that Zipporah, of course, saw that their child was about to be killed because they didn't have a bris milah, which is sort of a fascinating question in and of itself. We know that of
Moshe.
What's that?
The child or Moshe?
That Moshe, but even that question, as far as the iser of kares for a child not getting bris milah, what exactly that means, who the kares is on, the discussion that we showed him, is that right away, is it later on? But in this circumstance, Moshe was going to be killed right away, and Zipporah, of course, took the rock and gave their child a bris. Okay. So based on that, there's a very interesting question that comes up in the Mishnah and Kedushin, Mar Makom number two. Kol mitzvah haben alav, any mitzvah that is on the child, but a commitment for the father. I mean, something that has to do with the child, but is on the father. So anashim chayavim v'anashim b'turos. And obviously, this language, which Gemara discusses, is not a very clear language. Kol mitzvahs haben alav, any mitzvah of the son onto the father, and then people, I'm sure, know this Gemara, so we're discussing what exactly that would mean. But again, we say that these are the mitzvos that relate to the son, that are mutal, that are on the father, whether that's bris milah, whether it's pidyon haben. So we know the father's chayiv, and the woman is pater. Okay, so Gemara says, what's an example of that? Lamolo, the next source. So minolon, how do we know that a woman is pater, is not obligated, pater, from giving her son a bris? So dichsiv, right? Vaymal Avraham Yitzchak beno. Okay, which does not seem to be a very good proof that a woman is not obligated. It's just describing the fact that Avram gave Yitzchak a bris, but obviously from the very fact that it says beno. So the Rishonim point out that it sounds like Dafka, the mitzvah of Yitzchak's bris as being a ben, is only an Avram. Because in theory, you just look at this pasuk, you would say it's just descriptive. It's just describing the fact that Avram gave Yitzchak the bris. But either way, so the Gemara learns out from here that a man is chayiv, the father is chayiv, and the woman is exempt. In a circumstance where the father did not give a bris, so we know the Beis Din has to go ahead and the Beis Din has to give a bris. Okay? Does not sound like a very easy task, but in a case where a child wakes up and realizes, you know what, I never got a bris milah, my father didn't give me a bris, there was no Beis Din, so then he has to obviously be responsible for making sure that he gets a bris himself. Dichsiv, etc. So, ihi minolon delo mechayva. How do we know that a woman is not mechuyeves? Anybody have a question on this? Just based on the flow of the Gemara? The person can ask, that didn't we ask this question initially? I mean, we asked the question of how do we know that a man is chayiv and a woman is exempt? So we say from the pasuk by Avram Avinu. And then the Gemara says, how do we know that a woman is exempt? I mean, why do we sort of need to ask the question in two different ways? So, Ib minolon delo mechayiv, dechsiv, kasher tziva oso elokim, oso velo oso. Okay, so the very fact that it says they commanded him, commanded the man, did not command her. Okay, and just as people, I'm sure, are aware of the fact, this is a very common limud in the Gemara, especially in Gemara Kedushin, the very fact that a word is written in the masculine as opposed to the feminine, so that tells us that it's a chiyah for the man as opposed to for the woman. Now, Tosafos here asks one of, it's hard to know, if you make a list of some of the most famous questions of Tosafos throughout Ch'as, if you make a top 50, top 100, so this question of Tosafos clearly would be on it. And remember what Tosafos asks. So Tosafos says, why do we need this limud, osa v'lo osa? This is a v'im tomar lama likra. Why do we need a pasuk that says that the woman is exempt, tepuk lei de mitzvahs asei shazman gramahu? This is a time-bound mitzvah. Shenimol b'shmini l'leidaso v'nashim b'turos. We know that obviously Bris Milah is time-bound because it has to be done on the eighth day. And this would seem to be a mitzvah seishas man grama. Now, there is a discussion in the Rishonim about the following question. How does a person define the mitzvah of mitzvahs aseishas man grama? Or this concept of mitzvah seishas man grama, how do we define that? Now, the reason this comes up is because there's a very famous comment of the Ramban, and in fact this comment was so controversial in its own way that people might have even assumed that this Ramban was incorrect, because the Ramban says that Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah saseh. Anybody know what the Ramban says? Shelav Hazman Grama. It is not a time-bound mitzvah, Sfiras HaOmer. Now that would seem to be illogical. Of course, Sfiras HaOmer is time-bound. It begins on Pesach, ends in Shavuos, those set days. What would possibly make Sfiras HaOmer a mitzvah haseh, shaloz man grama, that's not a time-bound mitzvah? Does anybody have a svara for that Ramban? Why would Sfiras HaOmer not be a mitzvah haseh shaloz man grama? So perhaps one could aver, and this is what some of the Acharonim mentioned, is that it's really not a mitzvah seishas man grama, because it's not goreim by the day itself, right? It's goreim by Pesach. It has to be done between Pesach and Shavuos, but it's not as though objectively it's based on a specific time. It's based on things that are external to it. Pesach and Shavuos, as opposed to this man being goreim, this man being mechayev Sfiras HaOmer. So as a result of that, maybe it's not mitzvah seishas man grama. It's not based on that day. It's just based on things that are almost external to it. So a person might say that the same thing would apply to Bris Milah as well. Bris Milah is not a man grama because it's not based on a specific day. It's based on when the baby was born, and it has to be 8 days after then. It's not that the zman is gorim. There's nothing sort of intrinsic about the zman as far as that day, but it's based on the Bris Milah itself. Despite that, Tosafos still says, this isn't mitzvah seishas man grama. And there's another reason as well. Why might Bris Milah be a mitzvah seishas man grama? Because not only is it 8 days, but it has to be done, of course, b'yom. It has to be done during the day as well, and that should make it a mitzvah shazman grama, because it has to be done during a set time. So Tosafos gives an answer, which I guess one might call, I don't want to in any way insult Tosafos, but it's only the way that the Acharonim discussed this idea of Tosafos, is that the answer is a little bit underwhelming. Tosafos says, v'yesh lo markeven de miyom hashmini v'hala. If the child gets a bris milah, shelo bizmana, the child gets a bris milah the ninth day or the 15th day or whatever it is, so ein la hefzik lav zman gramahu. Okay, v'im tomar kosim is just man gramahu, dein malin el biyom. As we mentioned before, it's still going to be a mitzvah that has to be done during the day. Kedisav perakarel, v'yesh lomer da'asik madiyomer hasam, de milah shelo bizmana, no heges ben biyom ben belayla. If the child gets a bris milah, not bisman, the child gets a bris milah 20 days later, that can be both during the day and during the night. So as a result of that, we say that bris milah is not a mitzvah seisha hazman grama. Okay? Fine. Now again, it's sort of underwhelming, because Tosafos is essentially saying that because there might be a circumstance where there is no specific man, therefore we're going to define this mitzvah as mitzvah shelo zman grama. And many people disagree with that Tosfos. Okay.
Tosfos means that until the eighth day, it's like the baby, it's the equivalent of the baby not being born. Just like you can't do bris on the baby that's not born yet.
Right.
So until the eighth day, there's no orla to do it on. So that maybe that's what Tosfos means. Once you have the orla, now there's always a mitzvah to do a bris milah.
Right, right. So, something along those lines. Yep. Okay, so other tirutz are given that are more fundamental than Tosfos. And in order to sort of see those other tirutzim, actually, you know, before we do that, jump down to the Ritva, which is source number 6. Okay, so v'imi nolon the lo mechayve lamuls benam. By the way, this is an answer given by the Ritva and the Ran and the Ramban and the Orizarua. Many people say the same answer. As you can see, this is one of those questions that every single Rishon talks about. This question, why do we need a pasuk to tell you that a woman is exempt when it's mitzvah shezman grama? Everybody's bothered by this question. Okay, the meal b'yom v'lo b'layi, lo b'nash b'turos. So ikal meimar da'hasam hu b'mitzvah d'nafsha. When do we say that a woman is exempt? Because mitzvah seishas man grama, that's a mitzvah denafsha. What is mitzvah denafsha? It's a mitzvah that specifically is on a person. It's specifically on her. Avahacha b'mitzvah debina, have a mina de mechayva, that she should be obligated, the lo gara mi beistin de mechayve le mehale, l'hochi yitzuchra le miftara. Why would we think that if the Beis Din is chayiv, if the man does not do his obligation and the Beis Din has to come, the community has to come and give this child a bris milah, so if the whole community is chayiv to give this child a bris milah, if Beis Din as the community representative is chayiv to give this child a bris milah, so wouldn't we think that a woman should be no worse than Beis Din, the woman should be no worse than the broader community? Therefore, because there's a reason in this case that a woman might be chayeves, that's why the pasuk has to say osov lo osah, even though there's a havmina, the woman should be included, again, because Beis Din is obligated, still we say the woman is exempt. Now, obviously, we know based on this idea of the communal nature of bris milah, that's where the practice comes from that the post can talk about. Anybody know what practice? Of not inviting people specifically to bris milah because it's the community celebration, therefore everyone's really supposed to be there, so you're not supposed to sort of put somebody on the spot. Okay, there's many things that come out of this idea that it's a community obligation of bris milah. That's why we would have thought the woman would have been mechayeves, but instead we say she's pater. Okay. But the two other answers that are given, or one other answer that's given, the Tosfos Arid, and this Tosfos Arid ties into a very fundamental and a very major machlokes in the Rishonim. Okay, and this is initially discussed by the Rosh, by the Ma'arach or Zerua, and then later by the Shach. Okay, the question comes up in this very famous Shach in Choshen Mishpat about the issue of Yud Zehuvim, the issue of jumping in and stealing the mitzvah from somebody else, right? I guess maybe you call it the yeshiva, the chaperon. You want to, you know, someone's supposed to do mitzvah X, whatever that mitzvah might be, and you jump in beforehand, and to some degree you steal that mitzvah. So we know that, of course, we levy a knas on that person of Yud Zehuvim. And there's a very long discussion in the poskim, and the place that this is found most succinctly is in the Shach about the following question. Let's say when one's son is born, the father asks Moel A to be the Moel. Right? And he signs the Moel that obligation. Okay, and then I'm not sure if this has ever happened in real life before. I'm trying to even like imagine sort of the scenario. The Moel's late. We have some people here who are, you know, grew up in Breuers or daven in Breuers. It's 15 minutes late already. The Moel hasn't showed up. Of course, in the case of Breuers, the Katzensteins will always be on hand. You know, one of the Katzensteins at least. But some circumstance, and somebody there decides, we're not going to wait for this Moel. I'm going to sort of jump in and do the meal myself. Right? So in that circumstance, is this sort of rogue Moel, so to speak, is he chayiv to the original Moel or the appointed Moel? Is he chayiv Yud Zehuvim or not? Would he be chayiv in that case? So what would you think? Mistama, the answer should be yes. But the Rush says the answer is no. Okay? And the Rush says that in that case, there's no obligation of giving over the Yud Zehuvin. Question is, why not? So the way that the Acharonim understand this Rush, and the Rush says that this is a case where the father could have done it himself. The father's a surgeon. Maybe the father had trained in Mila. He knows how to be mal his own child. And therefore, when he gives it to the Moel, it's never really the Moel's sort of obligation. I mean, it's the father's mitzvah to give his child the Mila. And therefore, when the Moel got that mitzvah, it was never really his in the first place. Then now somebody else steals it, he's chayv to the Moel, Asar Zehuvin. Meaning the father should never have given up his obligation to the Mila in the first place. It's his mitzvah. It's a mitzvah shebegufo that he should be doing. The Moel, you know, it's never really sort of, it never really becomes his mitzvah, because this is a mitzvah shebegufo of the father. Therefore, because it's never really his mitzvah, the rogue Moel is not chayiv, that father. Now, the Shach says that based on this idea that it's the mitzvah of the father, the mitzvah shebegufo, the av, the Shach says that he wants to come out and be critical of a practice that he's seen of fathers honoring a Moel to do the meal of a child when the father could have done it himself. Now, the father can't do it himself, of course. You know, the last thing you need is a father to do it. For me to have been mal my own children would be, you know, I should be arrested for such a thing. But, you know, if a father could do it, a father is, again, he's trained, he's a Moel, but he says, no, I want to give it to, you know, the famous Pinchas Katzenstein, and because he was mal me, and the Shach says you should not do that. It's a mitzvah shebegufo on the father itself. Okay, now that's the position of the Shach, and again, the position perhaps of the Rush, and perhaps of other Rishonim as well. Now, the Tosfos HaRid has a completely different position. The Tosfos HaRid says it's not a mitzvah shebegufo; it's not a mitzvah that is obligated on the father himself to do the milah and to do the priya. Everybody know what the Tosfos HaRid says? The language. What might the other option? What's that? To be toreach, to make sure that the bris happens. When we say that a father is chayiv in the mitzvah of his son, to give him a milah, it doesn't mean that it's a mitzvah shebegufo, that's a mitzvah on the father. What it means is that he has to make sure that the caterer is there, and he has to make sure that the moel is there, he has to make sure he gets a sandik, he has to make sure that he's mishtadel, he's involved in this entire idea of giving a child a bris. But it's not a mitzvah shebegufo. Now, what nafkamina, what might come out of this disagreement between the position of the Shach and the Rishonim that he quotes, and the position of the Tosfos HaRid? Is it mitzvah shebegufo, or is it mitzvah just to make sure that the bris milah happens? Anybody can think of anything that might be a nafkamina between those two positions. So in halacha, there seems to be at least three, but probably more issues that come up. One issue that comes up is the issue of shlichus. Can a person give somebody the obligation of a mitzvah? Can a person give a shaliach a mitzvah if it is a mitzvah shebegufo? And this shach seems to say no. If it's a mitzvah that you have to do with your body, you cannot abdicate that mitzvah. We don't say shaliach adam kamoso, that a shaliach is like a person. And therefore, you have to go ahead, you have to do the mitzvah yourself. And this is a very famous Ksos HaChoshen that discusses this issue, where the Ksos says, any mitzvah shebegufo you have to do yourself, you can't abdicate to shaliach. The Ksos says, it would be like asking somebody to put on tefillin for you. Any mitzvah shebegufo you have to do yourself. What would the Tosfos HaRid say about shlichus when it comes to bris milah? He says that you don't even need shlichus, because all that your obligation is to make sure the bris milah happened, and that's not even subject to shlichus in the first place. So that'd be one nafkamina between these two positions. Another question would be the issue of shechiyanu, right? I think we all have, everyone here is Ashkenazi, I imagine. So as Ashkenazim, so you don't do you don't say the bracha shechiyanu when it comes to being mal one's child. So what's the reason that probably most of you think the reason that you don't say Shechianu? What's that?
Tzar.
Because Tzar. So the Rabbah says because of Tzar. Because we know to say Shechianu, which normally is said over a joyous occasion when this kid is sitting there screaming and yelling. My father's actually a neurological psychologist, a mental psychologist, And he was involved in a study many, many years ago, which I don't really believe, that, you know, a child remembers years later the pain of his bris milah. It's hard for me to imagine such a thing. Does not sound normal, right? Anyway, either way, so clearly in the moment that's happening, I should say clearly, you know, we would think at least that it's unpleasant for the child. So therefore, that's the reason they don't say Shechianu. But there seems to be another reason as well. That reason of why you would not say Shechianu works well for the position of the Shach and the Rishonim that say it's a mitzvah shebegufo. It's a mitzvah on the father to do. Any mitzvah shebegufo, normally you would say Shechianu on. Why don't you say Shechianu here? Because of Tsar of the Tinok. But if you say the position of the Tosas Arid, it's not a mitzvah shebegufo. It's a mitzvah just to make sure that the bris milah happens, but the actual bris is not your mitzvah. So maybe perhaps that's the reason then that you don't say Shechianu. Shechianu is on a mitzvah that you do, shebegufo. It's not a mitzvah that is just sort of organizational or result related. And that's the reason you don't say Shechianu. And that's what some Acharonim bring down according to this Shita. So that would be another difference between these two positions. And a third issue would be based on a question that Rabbi Akiva Eger deals with in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, namely that there's a Havamina that in Akum, a non-Jew, that he's allowed to do a bris milah. Right? And that if he doesn't bris milah, so then the milah is kosher. Of course, we don't paskin that way. But this issue comes up. It's obviously a very, very halacha maisa issue. Many children who were given a bris milah when they were in the hospital by a doctor who's not Jewish, and then they, you know, later on in life, they want something. You know, their issues come up then. But obviously we know that a bris milah done by an akum is not a kosher bris, and something has to be done afterwards. Tafas dam bris, etc. Now the question that's posed by Rabbi Akiva Eger is, isn't this a mitzvah? Mitzvah srichas kavana. How can we say that the bris given by an akum is a good bris if we can't assume that mitzvah is kavana? That's always the issue when it comes to all the gemaras that discuss something being done by an akum. Everyone hear the question? So Akiva Eger answers a very, very logical answer. And Akiva Eger seems to be going like this Tosas Harid. Namely, we require kavana in a mitzvah when it is a mitzvah shebegufo. Sitting in a sukkah, putting on tefillin, something that you do with your own body. A mitzvah where your obligation is just to make sure that something happens and that something is done and that you're just the organizing party, and that's your obligation to make sure that the mole shows up and to make sure that, that ultimately the child's no longer an RL, that's not something that requires kavana. And therefore, that's why, in theory, it would not be an issue, at least for that reason, of why an akum can give a bris milah. So this issue of whether milah is mitzvah shebegufo or just to organize the milah, again, issues of shlichus, issues of shechianu, issues of an akum. Now, Tosla Rid says that this svara also explains Tosla's original question. Because when do we say the mitzvahs asei shazman grama, that a woman is exempt? That's when it's a mitzvah that's on the gavra. That's when it's a mitzvah that's on the person. And therefore, it's a time-bound mitzvah should be exempt. But if all the mitzvah is, so to speak, is organizing the bris, making sure the mold's there, making sure the mold does their job, that's not a mitzvah on the person. That's not really a mitzvah on the gavra, per se. And therefore, because all it is to be mishtadel in the mitzvah, there would be a havamina that the woman is obligated. That's why the Gemara has to come and say, oso velo osa. Even that much, the woman does not have to do. I mean, the woman has no shaychus, has no obligation. Forget about the fact that she doesn't have to do the milah herself. She doesn't have to be involved in any way in making sure the milah actually happens at the end of the day. So these three positions all come to explain why the woman is not obligated. The woman is not mechuyeves. The havamina would be either A, that in fact it's mitzvah saseh shalavas magrama, B, according to the Ramban, the Ritva, the Ran, and others, that seeing that based in the community are obligated, the woman also be obligated, kamoshmon, that she's not. Or C, according to Tosas Harid, that this is not a mitzvah shebegufo, it's a mitzvah to make sure that it happens. Havamina should be obligated in that. Osovalo Osa, she's not obligated at all. So we know, therefore, there's no mitzvah at all for the woman to do the Mila. Now, all that is true, that does not explain, and by the way, people just want to take a chance, the Tosafot read inside, since we spoke about it. So if you look four lines down, on page three, so Tshuva, right? He answers the same question that Tosafot poses. So Heichi Amrina, the Mitzvah Seishas Man Grom, Manashim Peturos, so Hani Mili Mitzvah Detalya Begufa. Again, it's a very, very beautiful language. It's a very analytical language. It's a mitzvah that's on her body, on her essence. V'hi'ena mitzuva el zman yadua. And this mitzvah is only for a set time. V'lo b'chol zman. Okay? Ava mitzvah de lo talya begufa kagon lamolas b'na. Afa gab de milas haben yesh lo zman. Nihi de kavu hazman leben hanimol. Right, that means that the child has to be circumcised by a certain time. Aval ha'avshetziveyu habori lehisasek b'milas b'no ha'esek hahu ein lo zman. I mean, that esek, that involvement does not have a time, but it's not on the gufo itself, etc., etc. Now, all what this Gemara does and what these Rishonim flesh out is the fact that there's no mitzvah for a woman to be mal her child, and that's something that obviously everyone here knows. But that does not answer a different question, right? What's the other question?
Can she,
right? Not whether she's obligated, or probably even better yet, if she does give her child a mila, if there's nobody else around and there's no father in the picture, the woman wants to do it, you know, is that considered to be a kosher mila or not? Meaning, forget about whether or not she's obligated, does she have that option? Maybe is it something that it would be kosher or not? This is a Beferish Gemara in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Chavav and Beis Daf Chazayim and Aleph. We're not going to do every word of the Gemara, but just you'll see the punchline at the end. Okay, so Gemara says, so Dar Bar Papa Mishmei Derav Amar. Dar Bar Papa, the child of Rav said, or in the name of Rav, he said the following. I just want to give me a second if you mind. Okay. So he said, it's Omar, V'ata esprisi tishmor. Okay, so I apologize, but the question was cut off. The question is, what is the status of a bris mila done by an akum, by a non-Jew? So Darba Bapra Mishmei Derav said, V'ata esprisi tishmor. So we know that it can't be done, because it has to be done by somebody who is included in the obligation of bris. Okay, and seeing that a non-Jew is not obligated in the bris, so therefore the non-Jew cannot do the bris. Rabbi Yochanan says, so himo yimo. Obviously the psukim in Parshas Lech Lecha. So the way that we learn those psukim essentially is, if you see Rashi here on the spot, essentially hamal yimo, or right, himo, or hamul yimo. That anybody who has a bris mila, it's supposed to give a bris mila. If you don't have a bris mila, so then you're not allowed to give a bris. So we have two options. Either because of the pasuk of whether a person is included in the general obligation of bris mila and part of the idea of bris, or B, the only person who can give a bris is somebody who they themselves were given a mila, and therefore if you're not given a mila, or you're not obligated a mila, so then you can't give somebody else a mila as well. So my binayhu, what's the difference between the position of viatos brisi tishmor versus hamal yimol? So a ravi mahol, right, the givnoni mahol, right, there are those people, and obviously we know that Muslims still give a bris mila now. So maybe if a person who gets a bris mila, even though they're not included in the pasuk of Viataz Brisi Tishmor, maybe that person could now give a bris. Maybe a Muslim could now give a bris to a Jew because that person, in fact, has a bris mila. Okay? So that might be a nafkamina between the position of Rav, okay, where Rav would say you cannot give, or Rav would say that an akum is not kosher, versus Rav Yochanan would say as long as you have a bris, so then you're kosher. The Gemara rejects that position. Okay, anybody have another possible nafkamina? So if you go to the third line, Eloika binayhu Yisrael shemesu echav machmas mila, right, velo maluhu. A child who has two brothers who died as a result of the bris mila, so this child now does not have to get, or this adult now does not have to get a bris mila. So again, this issue would be an afkmina. If we say, according to Rav Yochanan, that anybody who has a bris should give a bris or could give a bris, so then this person does not have a bris. If we say that the question is if they're included in Viatas Brisi Tishmor, so they are included in the mitzvah, even though technically and practically they don't have a bris themselves. So that is the second nafkamina, and again the Gemara rejects that. So Gemara finally gets to the third nafkamina, and this is found four lines from the bottom. Eliga binayhu isha. Lamandi Amar Viata Es Brisi Tishmor Leika. She's not included in the overall obligation of Bris Mila. The Isha Lav Bas Milahi. But Ulamandi Amar Hamal Yimol or Hamul Yimol Ika. Okay? That's a very, very strange line in the Gemara. Anybody who gets a Bris Mila is now allowed to give a Bris Mila, so Ika. Yeah, so the woman is included in that. Why? The Isha Kaman the Mihila Damya. A woman, it's as though she is a circumcised person. Which again is a very, very unusual comment. The very fact that we'll call the woman circumcised. But the point being is that someone who's circumcised is a person that doesn't have an RL, doesn't have a foreskin. She's had her foreskin essentially removed just by nature and biology. Therefore, we view her as a person who's already been mal, who's been circumcised. And therefore, she would be allowed to circumcise somebody else if we would, in fact, follow the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? So Gemara says, "Umi ika lamandi amar ishalo." What do we do with the opinion, namely Rav, who says that a woman is psula; she's not allowed to go ahead and give a bris mila. Vaksiv, so vatikach tzipora tzar, that tzipora gave her child a bris mila. So kari bay, how do you? What would you say? Vatakach, namely that she didn't do it herself. Rather, she made sure that somebody gave a child a bris. So, okay, v'aksiv v'tichros, that appears to be on her. Okay, so the amr le'ina shacharina v'avad v'ibaseimos asiihi v'aschala v'atamosha v'agmura. Okay, she really did not give the child a bris. She just began it. And then Moshe finished it afterwards, and apparently the bris would still be good under those circumstances. Now, by the way, just on a technical level, there's a question that's posed about the following. What's implied is that if, let's say, you have a non-Jewish moel, a non-Jewish person who's going to do a bris, and he begins the process of milah, and then a Jew finishes the process of Mila, the bris is still kosher. Because where we go is basar, we go based on the end of that process. The problem is that when it comes to Shechita, the Rishonim say that Shechita needs to be done from the beginning to the end by a Jew. So why would certain mitzvahs be that a Jew has to do the whole thing? By bris Mila, it seems as though that even someone who is disqualified begins it, as long as a Jew, someone who's kosher, finishes it, it's okay. Either way, what comes out of this is machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav. Rabbi Yochanan would say that a woman is not kosher to do a bris, as opposed to Rav, because himo yimol, so Rav would say that a woman is kosher to do a bris. Okay, there's a question that's posed by Tosfos, and it's the wrong Tosfos that was printed, which I'm sure was my mistake. Okay, anybody have a question of this Gemara? According to Rabbi Yochanan, a woman is not kosher. According to Rav, a woman is kosher. So Tosfos raises two questions. The first question is, or really in his chronology, it's the second question. According to the position of Rabbi Yochanan, that a woman is psula, a woman is not qualified, a woman is not kosher to do a bris milah, why does the Gemara have to come and say that there's no mitzvah for her to do the bris milah? If she's not allowed to do it, if the bris that she does is psula, what's then the necessity of the Torah saying, oh, sovelo osa, there's no mitzvah? Of course there's no mitzvah. If she would do the bris is not even a kosher bris. What's the necessity of then the Torah telling us there's no mitzvah if in fact she's psula to do it in the first place? And that again is a question that Tosos discusses. But the second question, at least for our purpose, sort of more on point, is who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like Rav? Or do we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan? Rav again says that it's kosher if a woman does it. Rabbi Yochanan says that it's psula. So who do we normally paskin like? We normally paskin like Rav. Listen to the language of Tosfos, which I'll just read one line. So yesh lifso karav. Okay, we paskin like Rav. V'ein isha kshera lamul. Okay. Fine. So the afagav de Rav Rabbi Yochanan halachik Rabbi Yochanan. So baha halacha karav. The brayse of Rabbi Yehuda hanasi kai mekavasei. Av a bahag pasuk de isha kasher lamul. The bahag says that in fact a woman is kosher for bris milah. So it's machlokas we showed him. How do we paskin? Do we paskin that a woman is kashera, or do we paskin that a woman is psula? Anybody know? So take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in the last marmakom, and then we'll wrap up. So hakol kasher lamul afilu eved isha v'katan. So v'arel Yisrael shemesu achiv machmas mila. This is the position of course, Rabbi Yochanan, that a woman is kosher. A woman can go ahead and give a bris mila because the psukim of himoyimo, that a woman is allowed to go ahead and bemal her child, and the bris is still good. V'miyesh Yisrael gadol sheyudei lamul. But if there was a Yisrael who knows how to do the Mila, who called them Lukulam. So even though we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, that a woman is Kshera, so if a man is there, so a man is before a woman, a man is before an Eved, a man would take precedence. So the Ramazan makes a comment that, as you'll see in a second, the Acharonim sort of scratched their head about this comment of the Ramav. We say that a woman should not go ahead and a woman should not give a bris milah. This sounds like the position of Rav. Okay, v'chein noagin lahader achar ish. And therefore, we try to make sure that we find a man. But if a non-Jew does the bris, lo yimo klal. Even if he knows how to do it, even if he has a bris mila, he's not allowed to do the mila at all. Now, anybody see anything unusual about the Ramah? When you read the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah together. So again, if you read the line, Hakol Kasher Mlamul, Afilu Eved Isha V'Katan, V'Aro Yisrael Shemesu Achiv Machmas Mila, V'Miyesh Yisrael Gadosh Yodei Lamul Hukodim L'Kulam. A woman is kosher to do it, but we're mahader. We make sure, we try to get a man to do it, preferably before the woman. But V'Yesh Yorim D'Isha Lotimul. But a woman, according to the Ramah, should not do the Mila. Okay? V'Chei Noagin Lahader Acharish. And that's why we say that preferably we try to find a man to do it before a woman. Now the issue seems to be, and this is like a lengthy discussion that we're not going to go into, that the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, they both seem to be saying the same thing. They both seem to be saying that a woman, in theory, is kosher to do Mila, but we'd rather have a man do it rather than a woman. What exactly is the Ramah adding that the Shulchan Aruch did not say? Everyone hear that question? Right? It seems that even the Ramah starts off sounding very much like Rav, right? V'yeshom d'isha lo timo, that a woman cannot do the Mila. It sounds like from here that if a woman does the Mila, it's not kosher. But then the Ramah sort of throws a curveball and says, v'chein nogin lahader achayish. What does lahader achayish mean? That's why we say preferably that we're going to try to find a man before a woman. So that's what the Acharonim, if a person looks at the Taz and others over here, they try to figure out what exactly the Ramah is adding. Either way, most Rishonim seem to paskin, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, it seems as though the Ramah is paskin as well, like the position of Rav Yochanan, namely that if a woman did do a Mila, so that Mila is kosher, there'd be no need to go back and do the toughest Dan Bris. In theory, if a woman, there was nobody else around, a woman could be mal her son as well. So even though there's no mitzvah, so we still say that a woman is kosher, in fact, to do Bris Mila. So again, we started with the Pesukim about Mordechai, I'm sorry, about Moshe, about Tzipora, the Gemara that tells us there's no mitzvah for women to do bris milah because of the pasuk of Oso. Tosfos this question that if it's mitzvah seisha is man grama, so why do we need the pasuk of Oso? The answer given by Tosfos The answer of the Tosas Harid, the answer of the Ramban, we mentioned the Machlokas Rishonim, Machlokas Acharonim, whether Mila is a mitzvah shebegufo, or whether just to make sure that the bris Mila happens. We mentioned four different or three different nafminas between those two positions, as far as the issue about Shlichus, an issue of the Bracha Shechianu, an issue of whether or not you need Kavanah for that mitzvah. And lastly, besides the issue of whether or not a woman is Mechuyeves, is the question of whether a woman is Kasher. That's Machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan, even though normally in most cases, so we pass like Rav Yochanan and Tosas, and here we pass like Rav, but most Rishonim, the Rambam, the Bahag, and others, so we pass like Rav Yochanan, namely that a woman is Kasher Lamul, and that is where we pass that if a woman was the Moel, so that Bris Mila is still an effective Bris Mila. Okay, thank you everyone, and enjoy Rabbi Ram.